praise you, Lord Jesus. As Jesus asked one day, but who do you say I am? And the disciple says, you are the Christ. You are the anointed one. Oh. So it goes back to each one of us individually, recognizing who Jesus is. And man, when you can state that He is Lord, wow, that's awesome. He is your hope.
Amen.
Your everything is your blessed hope. I mean, He just, I can't describe it more than that. It's not a, you know, we said before, it's not a hope that we hope something happens. He's our blessed hope that what He has said shall happen.
Right.
And it will. It's, what we run into sometimes is that period in between. He spoke it, we know it's true, and we're waiting for it to take place. But even in the middle of our trials, He has a purpose that He can use that for, to strengthen us. And then He uses that trial we come through to help others. Anybody ever come through a tough time? You ever use that tough time to help somebody else then, to encourage them, you know? Amen. Amen. So that, he takes the things that the devil wants to use for bad, and as we place in His hands, He'll use it for good. So we enter what we call the Christmas season. I always like to share a couple of things. Some of you heard this before, but hope you have enjoyment at this time and not let depression come over you. And you know, one of the things, like I said earlier, already started is people arguing about it's not Happy Holidays, it's Merry Christmas. Have you heard that already? You see that going on? Okay. I'm here to tell you, it's both. Understand that. Yeah, I want you to understand that we celebrate December the 25th as what? Jesus what? His birthday. But He wasn't born December the 25th. Please understand that. Not in the sense that people say. He's actually born in the latter part of September or October, around the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Trumps, when He was born. Put it this way, you will find His birth date in that time frame. It fluctuates with the Jewish calendar. So I want to share with you, and when I say today that you cannot have a Christmas without Santa Claus, how many people believe that?
Yeah.
No one believes that. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to prove to you, if it wasn't for Santa Claus, you would not have Christmas. Yes. Pastor, how can that be? Well, let me tell you how that can be.
Glad you asked.
Nowhere in the Bible will you find where it tells you to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's not a festival. And we have, what's the three feasts we're supposed to celebrate all the time? The Feast of Passover, Pentecost, what's that? Tabernacle, yep. Yes. How does this come about? I'm going to share with you. We're going to go back in time a little bit, about the time Vicky was born, back about 310. I know. I'm really getting bad today, aren't I? But anyway, we're going back about 300 after the death of Jesus. And we're going to find a guy named Constantine. Oh, no, it was before Constantine. We're going to find a guy named Nicholas to start with. And Nicholas, you're going to discover, is a Christian man. Loves the Lord. Loves Jesus. His family's wealthy. They love Jesus. Well, when Nicholas' parents passed away, he inherited all this money. And he had a heart for Christ. And I won't put this all in a nutshell today, but he saw the needs, especially of three sisters to start with. Very poor. And he wanted to help them. So he went and got what they needed and gave it to them anonymously. Wow. I mean, he didn't show up with train sets and bicycles, okay? It was what they needed. compassion in his heart. Man, God, I'm so blessed. And I know I'm blessed to be a blessing. And boy, he was led to help them, three sisters out. Then as time went on, he would help other people out. Isn't that an awesome thing to do? Right? Isn't that what Jesus wants us to do? Amen. But you know, your Christianity and your Christian giving can offend some people. And what we're going to find as time went on, around 300, you're going to find Nicholas put in prison because of his faith in Jesus. Put in there by the emperor of Rome. He's in prison. Now the emperor changes. Now a guy named Constantine is brought into power. And he rules it. He rules the country. And it has pagans out there that celebrate the winter solstice, December the 21st. Okay? Pagans are those who doesn't worship our God and Jesus. Anything outside. It's like we're all Gentiles. If you're not Jewish, you're Gentiles. Pagans are those who worship any other God other than Jehovah. Okay? So they're worshiping this false God. And Constantine, he wants peace in his land. Get ready to go to war. Going back and forth. And man, these people are worshiping a pagan god. They worship the sun, actually, what they're doing. Anyway, Constantine goes to sleep one night. And he has a dream. And there's a sun shining bright. But during his dream, the cross of Jesus is laid over top of that sun. Which speaks to Constantine, saying, hey, listen. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he is brought down to the prison, led down to the prison, to talk to who? Nicholas. So he talks to Nicholas about this God, about Jehovah, about Jesus. He gets a liking to him, releases him from prison, then he declares, hey, to have the pagans and have the Christians kind of come together, he declares December the 25th to be a day that the Christian will celebrate their Jesus being born. He picked a date. My God. And you can figure it up, folks, if you know it takes about 9 months to have a baby, right? a baby human. Jesus was crucified when he was 33 and a half years old, and he was crucified the early part of March. So if he's 33 and a half years old, and we know he has to be carried for 9 months, so if you back up 6 months from March, where does that take you? February, January, December, November, October, September. That's when he was birthed into the world. The amazing thing about this, guys, is that as you get the numbers out and play with it, and check out the days of, what do you call that, baby growing in your belly or whatever you call that. I don't know the fancy name. Gestation period. Okay. All right. What do you call it?
Pregnancy.
Pregnancy. Okay. That December the 25th is the day that Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and conceived Jesus. That is the day that Jesus is born. See, there's born. And there's birthing. See the difference? Mm-hmm. Born is, there it is, I got this child. He's still your baby in here, right? He's your child. You know, people say, hey, I heard you're going to have a baby when you're pregnant, you know. No, I already have a baby. He's right here.
That's true.
But I'm going to birth them someday. So Jesus was born on December the 25th. Into the womb of Mary. And he was birthed latter part of September or early October. So, as we enter this time frame, and we got this Santa Claus going on, and we got Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas. Where do you fall? You know, what has happened is it's got blown out of proportion, meaning this: Nicholas was doing what Jesus said to do. Share with those in need. He would look at the community, look at people. So, Lord, who do you want me to help? And he would lay upon his heart to help someone anonymously. It's kind of like, guys, I'll pick on the married people for a moment, okay? Or you've been married. You should never have to ask your wife or your husband what they want for their birthday or Christmas. I say that because we should be so close together, you already know. Amen? Okay. And that's what Nicholas was. He had a heart for Jesus, and he showed him these things. But he did it anonymously. But I believe that what has happened, the same way with Jesus when he healed people, he said, now listen, don't tell nobody. Why didn't he want people to tell him at times? Because he wanted to go upon his father's business and share in the gospel and go from one area to the other. And if you start talking about it, he won't be able to move at all. He won't be able to get out. But somewhere along the line, I believe someone started bragging about what Nicholas did. And then next thing we know, oh, it's Christmas time. What do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? Now, I think that part of Christmas, I think when people say, well, I'm just sick and tired of Christmas, I won't get it over with, it's because we lost sight of it. There is nothing wrong with celebrating Jesus being born on December the 25th. Understand that. If we want to. The Bible doesn't talk about either way. But we have to watch ourselves getting wrapped up into this thing about giving, 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 giving. It totally destroys what our message should be. Seeing the needs of others and meeting that should be, of course, every day, right? But at one time of the year, we focus more on it. And I think that, I think by celebrating Christmas the wrong way is a sin. That's just my conviction on that. If you're running around and you're buying stuff just to make people happy, just get them off your back. Well, that grandkid, I don't want to buy him nothing. I'll give him and maybe he'll shut his mouth up. Well, I don't really want to buy this for him. He wants this thing, but I'll get it for him or her anyway. No, no. It's going to be in our hearts. You know, the last thing God will want us to do is go up there and run up credit card debts and do all kind of stuff. It's about Jesus. It's about God's love and His promise. And that's what Nicholas did. He's just loving Jesus. It'd be the same way that I've had people in our church give me money all the time. But not for me. So this, I want to help this person out or that person out. But I don't want any credit. And they give me money. And I would do what they pleased to do. And I never shared what they did until maybe sometimes after they have stepped into the glory of the Lord that I would share what their heart's done. And so, let's say one of them would be, I'll pick on Daryl for a minute. But Daryl is very generous. He's always doing things for people under the tape, not on the table, that's illegal. Anonymously. Anonymously, okay? Oh, right. Then he steps into glory. Then I say, you know, Daryl is an awesome man, and I'm just telling you what, he did this and this and this and this and this. And what would it do? It would inspire other people to do the same thing. For assume, but I'm telling you what, that old Daryl, he was a saint. You know that? In fact, I'm going to do this today in memory of old St. Daryl. And then we do that. See how it goes? And that's what has taken place, I truly believe, as time went on. But then I think what happens is we all want a handle on our kids, right? Some days I just need something to get through another day. These kids are driving me up the wall. Hey, you better behave. Santa Claus is watching you. Anybody ever been there before? Anybody ever use that day after Easter? Santa Claus is watching you. Yep. And so we lost the insight. We lost the joy. We lost the purpose that we were doing that. And now, I mean, this is probably one time of the year that the retail stores love Christians. Because we got to have it gone overboard. Ever feel guilty at Christmas time? Here, have this in your mind. I'm telling you what, when I grew up, somebody used to have a story about an orange all the time. Forget what it was. All I got for Christmas was an orange. And I won't have my kids go through that. I'm going to give them whatever they want. But back then, when you just got an orange, can you remember how excited you were? Well, I wasn't orange hair. I'm sorry. I was spoiled. But see, just a Pastor Peter. Everybody know Pastor Peter? How excited he comes here. He gets an apple, a whole apple to himself. I mean, apples is, we don't think nothing of it. He says over there, the orphanage, they're taking an apple and cut it 8 ways. Everybody gets a piece of it. Wow, isn't that awesome? You know? But here, we can get in the habit of overdoing things. It's sharing the love of Jesus. And I believe this time, in this particular 2020, it has to go back to the hope that we share in Christ Jesus and share that. I think we have to step out of the world setting and let the light of Christ shine too. And I'm not saying you can't buy presents for people. Don't get me wrong. I believe we got to keep it in perspective. And celebrate. And when you walk in the store somewhere, walk somebody, say, hey, Vicki, happy holiday. Well, thank you. And you know what? Have a Merry Christmas. Amen? Because it's both. I mean, actually what happened is Christianity stepped into a pagan holiday and we tried to take it over. Let's make sure that we celebrate what the Lord says to do. The Passover? Remember that? Pentecost? Feast of Tabernacle? That's the three feasts we'll celebrate forever. Everything else is a bonus. But this time of year, people's eyes are focused on Christmas. They're focused on Jesus, on however they know Him. So let's make sure we take that opportunity to share that as best as we can. Amen? That's the main thing. And what we have today is a Christmas tree. You think, boy, that tree isn't lit up yet. I'm glad you asked me why it wasn't. You know why it wasn't? I'm going to tell you about it. Okay. But I know some has challenged before on the Christmas tree and whether to have a Christmas tree or not. Some people say, well, it says in the Bible that you can't have a Christmas tree. And Jeremiah chapter 10, I just want to share with you. And you don't have to have a Christmas tree, believe me. But I look at the Christmas tree and I use it the same way that I use that cross around my neck. A reminder. I mean, I find a lot of comfort in our tree at home. We put it up. But Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, verse 1, is what people read and they say, well, listen, the Bible says right there you cannot have a Christmas tree. And they misunderstand. It says, hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations, and do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them. For the customs of the people are delusion, because it is wood cut from the forest. The work of the hands of a craftsman with a cutting tool. They decorate it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, so they will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field are they. And they cannot speak. They must be carried, because they cannot walk. Do not fear them, for they can do no harm, nor can they do any good. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name and might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations and all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether stupid and foolish, and their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of a craftsman into the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is a true God, He is the living God and the everlasting King. At His wrath the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure His indignation. And when you read that, you think, wow. We don't go out in the forest anymore. We go to the local parking lot or the store. You cut a tree down from the forest. You bring it into the house. You trim it up, and you put gold and silver on it. Wow. But what he's talking about is making a totem pole. Amen? A totem pole. They worship this thing. They got to carry their God around from one place to another place. Okay, now, there's a problem if you're putting a Christmas tree up in your house and you're worshiping it. Then we need to talk. But that is not speaking about a Christmas tree. It's talking about a God. A totem pole. You know, they said, people worship all kind of weird things. Remember when Moses was up on the mountain and came back down one time? They made a golden calf already. Worshiping a golden calf. They made it with their hands. They took the stuff that they took out of Egypt, melted it down. What power would that golden calf have? It was evil. None. I mean, it took their eyes off of God. And what power it had, it has enough power. It could send them to hell because God says, I am a jealous God. You have no gods before me. But the Christmas tree itself is not a totem pole. So I just want to share that with you. Again, you can have a Christmas tree. You can say, no, I don't want the Christmas tree in my house. But I like them. I really do. When I look at the tree, the evergreen tree, I see, remind me of Psalms 90, verse 1 to 2. It says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And an evergreen is green all the time. That's why they call it evergreen. They're always green. Going on forever and ever and ever. And when I look at that, it reminds me that God's that way. That the God that I serve, the God that's called me out of darkness, He's not here today and gone tomorrow. He's here forever and ever. But yeah, Psalms chapter 90, verse 1 and 2. And the other scripture reminds me of is, of course, John 3:16. It said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. And folks, again, this is what comes to my attention. You might find other scriptures that you're attached to this to encourage you, but when I'm sitting around in the evening looking at our tree, all these things I share with you is things that can come back to my mind to bring me that peace. And I believe also that for those of us who like to witness to people when they stop by and see your tree. Anybody ever go around the house to house, look at people with different trees and stuff? They still do that. Nobody does that. We don't do much going around anymore. We look on Facebook. But it used to be you go to everybody's house, see what kind of tree you got, have a cup of hot chocolate and stuff, you know. But it gives you some tools there to witness to people when they come in. Or, oh boy, Dad, that's a pretty tree you got there. Well, it's awful big. But yeah, I want more presents. No, that's my how big my God is, you know. Or whatever. Just helping us to get the conversation out about Jesus, but at the same time encouraging us. We're always looking for a segue to take our conversation from one way to another. And the tree can help do that. Revelation 22:13, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I have no beginning, and I have no end. That's our God. They see the branches on the tree. I have to confess, Carol was putting the songs together last night while we were putting the tree up. And once I got the lights on, I forgot I was supposed to take the branches and kind of make them look prettier. And so some of them are drooping down. I apologize on that. So, but the branches to me comes to my mind is John 15, verse 5. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And a real tree, you remind yourself, you got to water that tree, right? You should. Otherwise, the tree is going to die. And the same way with us, we got to continue to water our lives. Let our branches be exposed as the Word of God waters us. We lived in a house in Hickory Flats back in the day, back in the 80s, early 80s. All electric home. We had our tree up in the big family room and stuff, but we got real cool. We were talking like 40 below zero weather in wintertime. So after Christmas, we put a blanket up or curtain up across the living room, and we just stayed in the little small family room until springtime. And we walked in that room, and every needle came off that tree. It was brown. It was all dried up. And I forgot we had a goldfish in there, too. It was terrible.
No way.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, and it just shows you what happens when you neglect something after a while. Pretty soon it gets out of mind. And that kind of reminds me, you know, we can step out of I'll read my Bible tomorrow, next day, and pretty soon we slowly start drying up, not recognizing that spiritually that we're dying. But this encouragement that you water your tree, and I think after the last year we had a regular tree, we got an artificial tree. I don't know if we had any more gold pieces or not, I don't remember, so. It wasn't our fault. It was one of them goldfish from the fair, and they last forever. You know what I'm saying? It just.
I thought you said he went to live with family.
Yeah, I did tell you he went to live with family, but but your great grandparents were you went to live with. In Romans 11:16, remind me that if the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And that the root is holy, the branches are too. So again, it reminds me if I just stay rooted in the Word of God. But even though I don't feel holy, that's not a word I want to use for myself, but the Word of God says that you are holy because of the righteousness that Christ gave us. So when for some of us, we can sit there and we're not careful, depression starts coming over at Christmas time. And I look at that tree and start remember of things in the past, old Christmases, people not around you anymore. But the whole thing has to be turned around because of your faith in Jesus today. We got to cast down that spirit of heaviness and remind ourselves that, man, the awesome days have gone by, but I got better days are coming. That's through Jesus. I mean, and we need encouragement. If you find, yes, our hope. And folks, seriously, if you find yourself getting down, pick up the phone and call me, and I will sing a Christmas carol to you over the phone.
Oh,
we will encourage one another. Amen? Or go call somebody that will sing to you, you know. Don't ever be ashamed saying, I got a tough day. I'm really down today. No. You call and say, tough day. Sing to me. Give me some hope. I'll share a scripture and sing to you, or I'll give the phone to my wife to sing to you, one of the two. You might be saying, preacher, you pray for me while your wife sings to me, and we'll do that, you know. And then the lights. I was smart this year. I put the lights on before the sermon. That would be a half hour longer. All right. Woo! I just want to see you get up. But I actually went down to... There. I went down yesterday. I was going to buy one that already had the lights on it. I had a choice buying lights for $3.99 or $120 for a pre-lit tree. I bought the lights, yeah. Yep.
We're cheating,
I know. But we're cheap.
I said we're cheap.
Yeah, we are. That's all right. Thrifful. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. John 8:12. When I look at the lights, remind me that Jesus says, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And when I look at them little bulbs on there, that's you, and this is you, and that's another one of you guys, another one here. That together, this loving Jesus, we can bring a light into the world and cause darkness to flee. If I had one little light on there, it'd be nice. It'd really stand out. But look how much darkness would be down below it. But if we come to know Jesus and follow Him, man, we just make a difference. And again, that's what my prayer is this week. As light is continuing to be exposed to the darkness, that darkness shall flee. And people will come into the light and let the truth set them free. It reminds me I'm not alone. It reminds me of Elijah, you get chased by Jezebel. When he went into the cave, you all remember a story about that. He just called down fire, destroyed the false prophets of Baal. And next thing you know, Jezebel threatened him. And he took off running. He's in a cave. And he said, I'm here all by myself. I mean, am I the last person serving the Lord? You ever think that sometimes, maybe around family members, you know, or friends? Am I the last person serving Jesus? And the next thing you know, God showed him that he had 7,000 other followers. That it wasn't on your own. And the scripture says that whatever you've gone through, somebody's already been through it before. I'll bring you through. So I find encouragement through the lights and many lights on the tree. And some might put different color lights on, the blue and the green. That's me, the flashing lights, the blue and the, you know, I like that also. Remind me that we all come from different races, but the one God. I love this awesome way. My missus are really into the white lights and stuff at home. My wife, I'm sorry. Yes. She said, you sound so old when you call me Mrs. So. Okay. And Psalms, something I shouldn't say, should I? Okay. Psalms 119:105 is another scripture that reminds me of on the light. That your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen. And then the ornaments, Mom. You want to put one on for me? Okay. Now, and also, this is something you're welcome to do also. To us, ornaments are part of remembrance. Now, we have a couple of trees at home normally we put up. And the one down in the family room we put up is a larger one. And we put a lot of the things that the kids made in school on there. You know, all the things made out of popsicle sticks and you name it. But it's a great remembrance to us of our life. Now, on this tree here, we have, on the bulb here, we have Dad Griffin, Carol's daddy, and we have the name of Stanley Mason, if you all might remember Stanley. But people who come to know Jesus Christ, and today we have every reason, I hope, to believe they're in heaven today. And that reminds me, man, as that light reflects off that bulb, it's that light that touched their lives at one time that changed your life. And Carol shared before, her daddy was an alcoholic. He got drunk, meaning tear up the house, you name it. And he met Jesus when Carol was 16 years old. He met Jesus Christ head on, changed his life upside down, gone to church, singing. I mean, amazing. And that God who did that is still alive today and still changing lives. Stanley Mason, I'm telling you what, next thing to a Hell's Angel, if you knew Stanley. Amen. He had the fingers tattooed, you name it, boy. He said he left home one time on his truck, and he said 17 years later before he come back. But he came back. He came back, stopped here one day for church back in December, January of 2010, I think it was. Came in for a church service we were doing during the service. We had a couple get married, had no money. Come on in. We're doing the service. I preached about the 10 virgins. And Stanley came, heard the gospel. The next week, I'm outside there cooking on the sidewalk in the middle of a snowstorm, cooking hamburgers for dinner. Stanley stopped by. I've shared it before, but this is what keeps me motivated and going. Stanley looked at me and said, "Preacher, I heard what you said last week about getting saved. I'm coming next Sunday. I'm getting myself saved." I said, "Well, Stanley, if God is moving on your heart today, today's the day of salvation. You're not guaranteed to be here tomorrow." And we stood out there in that snow, holding hands, burly old, whoo. And the Spirit of God fell. I'm telling you what, he gave his life to Jesus. He turned him upside down. He started coming to church. I mean, it's just amazing. And 2 years later, cancer. Not sure what to do at the hospital where he's talking. But now he had a heart attack and stepped into the presence of Jesus. Folks, I mean, that's what your ministry does. That's what your outreach does. That's how we change. And every one of us got a testimony. I come to Jesus 20 years ago, but that's what keeps me going. And when I see that, yes, Lord, it's all worthwhile. It is. And that light that's shining, man, sometimes our light gets kind of dim. You got to clean it up. But it's worth it. The light that you shine makes a difference in people's lives. And I mean, we've got, I called the lady today. I haven't got a response from her yet. We got several more of our brothers and sisters in the Lord to be remembrance on the wall. I'm hoping we get that done. But that just keeps us going. It says in Ephesians 5, verse 7 to 9. Ephesians 5, 7 and 9 says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, all righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." So we were all formerly darkness. When I look at those two there, yes, they were in darkness, but now they're in the light. And now they're in the presence of the living God. Again, just things that we have, that we share, at home, they encourage us. And if you want to get a bulb and put your loved ones' names on it, on our tree here, you're welcome to. And I ask you, do not bring any bulbs in that's been in your family for 100 years and you really cherish the bulb, because I've been known to break them. Okay? Yeah, I was going to be up front with you on that. Then Luke 23. Verse 42 and 43. We're at the cross of Jesus, and that thief looks at Jesus. And he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's all he said. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." When he said that, he recognized Jesus as the Son of God. He recognized that Jesus was who he said he was. He is saying, "I believe in you." All that in that four or five little words. And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." How quickly a person can be transferred from darkness into light. And what caused him to say that? Because right before that, that thief was cussing out Jesus, making fun of him. The crowds were yelling at him, mocking Jesus, and Jesus said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And that love he showed that day, right then, changed the heart of a man that was headed to hell. Oh man, I don't have one. The presents. I got a present. Oh, okay, okay. I thought I didn't get a present this year. But the present under the tree, you be the elder elf. In Matthew 2:11, and they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It reminds me of the gifts that Jesus received when he was born. Gifts for Jesus given to his parents to be used for their needs as they took care of Jesus. Amen? So it reminds me, as I continue to carry Jesus in my life, God will continue to meet my needs. Who known 18 months later, Mary and Joseph had to flee to save Jesus' life. And what did they have to go on? They had gold, frankincense, and myrrh, trading stuff. God's always on time, is he not?
Amen.
He's always on time. That encourages me. Well, it does. Then we have the garland. And every year it kind of changes what I think of. But this, when she put the garland on, it reminded me of the song that you guys sing, Wrap Me in Your Arms. Sometimes we just need Christ to hold us, right? We just need to let his word just overshadow us. And God, I can't think of nothing. I just need you. Just wrap me in your arms. I want to feel your peace today. I want to feel your presence. And Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 6, it says, let his left hand be under my head, and his right hand embrace me. Wrap me into your arms. And sometimes you might sit there looking at that tree and see that garland, and you'd be sitting there crying. But just hold me, Jesus. Let me use your vet system you gave us of tears. And help me cry this out. Folks, there's nothing wrong with crying. I'm telling you, if you never loved, you'd never cry. And the angel on top of the tree, and we go back and forth, we have angel here and angel there. And this angel burned out last year. And I plugged in this lady this year, and she burned out on us too. In fact, I think she might have caught on fire, I'm not sure, because all the bulbs are really darkened. But it's still, and you might have a star on top of your tree. I mean, the star, the angel, it will speak to you from the scriptures. But in Luke 1:35, it says, the angel answered and said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. That reminds me of the salutation that the angel gave Mary. It reminds me of that moment when she says, let it be as you have said, that the God of the heavens became human form through the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. That God himself was on earth in human form. When she said, let it be. It was hearing that word, believing that word, is what birthed the Lord into your womb. And as we hear the word of God today, whatever situation you're in, when you find a scripture that speaks to your need, and you contemplate on it, allow it to birth in you. Oh man, that's right, that's God saying that. That's God saying, let it grow your faith. And I truly believe that's where healing can really be manifested in your life. It's hearing that word of God. Concentrate on this. Just stay on it. And let it birth in you of faith. Anyway, that is my God. I'm his child. And it will do something in your life like never before. It's contemplating. Contemplating? Am I saying the right word? Studying the word of God. Believing the word of God. Yeah, I know. Sometimes. Matthew 1, verse 20 to 21. That reminds me of the angel that talked to Joseph. Mary stepped out, said yes. Now she's pregnant. Joseph's want to put her away. But remind me that the Lord sent the angel to Joseph also and told him, hey, listen, she's telling you the truth. I often wonder, why didn't God do it the same night? Why didn't the angel show up to Mary and then go on down to Joseph, hey, listen, your fiance, she's going to have a child and call him Jesus. I think it has something to do with building our faith. I think as Mary said, yes, I do, then pretty soon the word that she received started manifesting itself in her. And I don't know, I mean, again, maybe if it was, Mary knew, I mean, ladies, I've never been pregnant before, but I think when you get pregnant, you know you're pregnant. I've heard people say, well, I knew I was 2 days pregnant. Something happens inside your body, isn't there? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just passed out cigars when our kids were born. But just maybe, God was trying to protect Jesus. Because Mary knew, if he would have went right over to Joseph and told Joseph, and Joseph saying, okay, wait, you can't marry. They're going to stone you to death. I mean, he could have all these reasons in the world to end this pregnancy, thinking it's the best thing for her. Because if you got pregnant and not married back then, you could be, they're already engaged, be put to death. They stone you to death. And so Joseph may have been in the flesh too much and tried to convince Mary, now we got to stop this thing. But as Mary became showing, I guess I want to say, nothing's going to stop this child. Mary already decided that. Then Joseph, the angel spoke to Joseph, okay. God brought them together to protect the baby Jesus. Amen. That's just my thought. And you might think different than that, but this is my sermon, so I can put it any way I want to. And then also, if you want, the angel spoke to the shepherds out in the field too. That's in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. So there's a lot of things that your tree can speak to you and bring you encouragement. And then the last thing that we put on our tree, it can be either way. It can be a white sheet or a red sheet that we put on a ground cloth. And Isaiah 1:18, it reminds me, the word of God says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. So it reminds me again, because of the tree that Jesus hung on, that he died, that he gave his life for, that my sins or cleansed are gone. I remember the devil was a liar and he starts to bring my past back up to me. I'm born again. And we've said before, we say even at Easter time, that we should be always more concerned about the present that hung on the tree than the present that's under the tree. But that's our take on the Christmas tree. I find a lot of encouragement. Again, I find it as a remembrance tree. We have things on there from years gone by. Ornaments, it just things shows us the life that we have, and some of the stuff we have is from our parents and grandparents, and they're in glory today. So thinking back of old Christmases and some of the stuff we got into, it brings a joy to my heart, and knowing that I've got a joy, everlasting joy through Jesus, and a promise for being reconciled again. Anybody got a question about the tree? Okay. And the other thing we look at today, briefly, is the Advent wreath. And the Advent wreath is designed to encourage us, remind us, that Jesus is coming, that he's coming back. Advent means that, to come. And if you have your Bible, you want to turn to Malachi for a moment, I'd like to share with you. Malachi is the last book in the Bible before you get to the New Testament. Did you know that, Carol?
I did.
Okay. I'd like to share with you chapter 4. Now, this is the last thing that was spoken through a prophet. And after this was spoken, there was 400 years of silence. 400 years, wow, from God. But verse 1 of chapter 4 of Malachi, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and evil, every evil doer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord. So that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb and all Israel. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse." Now, that was prophesied about 400 years before the birth of Jesus. And if you look at the candles on the Advent wreath, there's four candles. Each one can stand for 100 years of waiting for Christ to be birth. When is Jesus coming back? We don't know, do we? But we know by the signs he's coming very quickly. In the first part of Malachi, when he says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaffed. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But you who fear me, who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings." So, 400 years before Christ was birthed, as the people was looking for the coming of the Messiah, and he came, did he not? Jesus was birthed just like the scripture said he would be born. He lived a life. He gave his life up for us, for our sins, rose up from the grave. He promised to come back. And here we are now. I believe the scripture of Malachi is showing the condition of the world right now, especially the United States. So our hope is focused upon his coming. And not to lose that hope, he's never lied. He has never lied and never will lie. So we look at the Advent wreath, and I encourage folks, if you can, to have one in your home. Just be very careful when you light the candle, you don't catch the table on fire, which we've been known to do. Well, you testified that before. But when we look at the Advent wreath, we see the evergreen. And it's the same scripture that reminds me of the tree, that God never had a beginning and no end. Lives forever. He's everlasting. It reminds me of his birth. It reminds me of his coming again. Oh, I see that. Because his word has never went idle. His word is still true today. And the candles on the candles around the wreath, they represent some of the attributes of Jesus. It talks about the hope, love, peace, and joy. And that's all the things that are deposited, some of the things that are deposited in us as a believer in Jesus. When we light the candles, they remind us of the hope we have. And around your table at home, I mean, some of you can be really busy at times. If you set a certain time at your house in the evening, maybe at supper time, to gather the family around the tree, or gather yourself, or just yourself. If it's just you, take a moment. Open your Bible up. Look at the scripture that talks about, like this week, hope. You light that candle and remind you that Jesus is the light of the world. Read the scriptures to yourself if you're there by yourself or others. Kids, make the kids sit out. You're hungry? Yes. Sit down. We're going to read this. Somebody comes visit you at supper time. Hey, I want to share this with you tonight. And speak that word out. And share that scripture. Yeah, you know, when you're sitting around the table with someone and you just read a scripture, talked about Jesus, and maybe you have a pretty rough house at times, it makes it kind of difficult to go from there to speaking of words we shouldn't be saying or cussing one another out. You set the foundation for your home. I truly believe that. When it comes time to your leisure time, it'll help you pick leisure activity that's not offensive to the Lord, which that way it won't be detrimental to yourself. Anything that you can do to help, one, encourage yourself to the Word of God, or number two, to share that with others in your household, it'd be awesome. And some folks maybe stop by, they're not there at supper time, but they stop by the house and say, what's that thing for? What's that? Well, that's an Advent wreath. And you share that with them. Just little things that help encourage us. But the scripture that comes to mind for hope, I have three scriptures I'll share with you. You can write them down just in case you want to use them at your house. But Philippians 4:13, as we look at the hope that Jesus gives us, that blessed hope, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things, and that reminds me I can do all things as I concentrate on the Lord, hear His word, and follow Him. So how did you get through that? I can't tell you. I just know Jesus is with me. He strengthens me. In Philippians 4:19, God will provide all my needs through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'll continue to follow Christ. I don't know how He'll do it, but I give Him all that I have. He'll meet every need I have. And that's what we truly need, right? Our needs met. Because nothing else really... All the bonuses are nice, but most of us, right now, we look at Christmas and the gatherings, and especially this type of year, it's not the presents that we miss. It's the fellowship, right? Amen. Simple needs, but very important needs. And the last verse I have is Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? And the key word there is to ask Him. To share your heart with Him. And He will. God, I need peace today. I need strength today. He wants to hear you. Amen? He promises, man, that He'll move the mountains for you through His name.